Everybody, I'm Karen Hartglass, and welcome to It's All About Food. I was just listening to one of those promos with the echo in the background, and now I can't help myself. Help me! Yes, so we're going to have a very fun and love-filled show. You know that I love to tune in love on this show, and we're going to tune in love squared today because my special guest today is my real Valentine's Day Valentine and the love of my life, Gary DiMattei. Gary, are you there?
Hello, Karen.
You got it, too.
I thought you were doing some sort of Philip Glass meets... I thought you were going minimalism on me. I thought we were going to start hearing some repeated phrases over and over and over and over and over again. And
well, if we do that, then the show will be over really quickly.
No one will listen in. How are you, Karen?
I'm good. I'm thinking about a lot of people repeat themselves. They're just not obvious about it.
Right.
Yeah,
I do that all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention any names, exactly.
So now that we're really having a full disclosure about your Valentine, we can talk about his insecurity and always having to repeat himself. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yes. That's really good.
So we're going to talk about food on It's All About Food, I'm back to talk about a holiday with you. Last time I was on was in December. We talked about the Feast of the Seven Dishes, which featured a lot of great recipes that we've concocted here at Responsible Eating and Living, the nonprofit that you and I run from the apartment, from our one-bedroom apartment in New York City.
It's amazing what we can do and what we do.
Yeah, do-do. No, we also do that. And, you know, on the subject of do-do, if you go vegan, you will have no problem doo-dooing because
I'm glad you mentioned that. There was an article on constipation in the New York Times, I think, this weekend. And it's a fascinating subject where they were acknowledging that people don't like to talk about it, and yet most people do have a problem with it, some more frequently than others.
Right.
We don't have that problem here at Responsible Eating and Living headquarters because everything we eat is packed with fiber, and that keeps our intestines nice and clean and lubricated, and everything moves right along.
I have a slogan. Everything we do is packed with fiber, which makes it easier for you to unpack your fiber.
Oh, good.
Oh!
Well, that's a good one.
I think it needs work, but... But who doesn't?
Exactly. We all need work. Now, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's on Sunday. I guess it's always on Sunday, isn't it? Or no, it isn't. It's not always on Sunday. That's silly me. February 14th. Now, I have to say, some people have called me Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm not a kind of person that really goes with the Hallmark-slated holidays. Mm-hmm. That were invented by corporations to make us buy cards and go to restaurants, whatever. But I'm getting a little sentimental here. Valentine's Day is coming up. I like celebrating. I've said this before. I like celebrating all of the food-related things that are behind any holiday. And this is just another opportunity to celebrate what I love most, which is food, vegan food, and veganizing absolutely everything we can get our hands on.
I think it's also important to state that you are a lifetime activist.
Yeah.
I'm new at this activism thing. And
were an activist. You just didn't know it.
No, I know. But I think the greatest way to start activism, and everyone has their own definition of what that is, but I think the greatest way to start realizing that you can make a difference without, and this is not to say that hitting the streets and you know, holding a sign and protesting is not a beautiful and wonderful form of activism, as long as there is no violence, of course. But another way, I think, is to start on a personal level, and I think the greatest way to do that is by by switching to a vegan lifestyle. I posted a little thing on Facebook today. I follow Pen America, and one of their posts today was a quote by Alice Walker, who was born on this day, happy birthday, Alice Walker, in 1944. And the little quote said, "Activism is the rent I pay for living on the planet." And so, I mean, I think it's a great way to start. So, I mean, at Responsible Eating and Living, we're a nonprofit. And basically what that means is we're here to educate the public, educate people who want to transition or are curious about transitioning to what you and I call a vegan lifestyle, and to what a lot of people who are trying to soften that call a plant-based lifestyle. So as far as education goes, we at Responsible Eating and Living try to think of creative ways to educate you on how easy it is to transition to a plant-based lifestyle. That said, it's also, as far as I'm concerned, me personally, and I don't know if anybody else will join me in this, but I think it's a great way to start realizing that you can make a difference simply by what you eat. Hence, here we are on It's All About Food. And go ahead, take it away,
Karen. You came up with a great idea that we used in our newsletter that went out today about Valentine's Day. And that is that the most romantic thing you can do is to fall in love with yourself and go vegan.
Right.
As you put it, it's a relationship that will not only last forever, and it gets better and better with age, and it's not only good for you, but it's good for the entire world. Here is an opportunity for you to show your love for the entire world, the entire planet, for future generations by living lightly and loving yourself. It's just the gift that goes on giving.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, and you know, there's all of these cliches. You mentioned Hallmark cards, which are filled with cliches, and the cliches that a lot of these cards and things that people will be giving one another. One of the cliches is, "Was it good for you? It was good for me." And so, well, here's something that you can do for yourself that is, you know, when you wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror, you'll say, "This was good for me, and this was good for the whole world." So, and the cigarette has, the smartphone has replaced the cigarette. So then you can check your phone. You know? Light up your phone. Check.
Hit those apps. So, yeah. Now, Valentine's Day, I think it's really for everyone. So you can celebrate it with yourself. You can celebrate it with a loved one. You can celebrate it with friends and family. But I think it's a good opportunity to think about love and how you can express your love best. And I think by reducing exploitation in the world is a really beautiful way to do that.
Yeah, there's also vegan cliches. I mean, so many people who, you know, try and force veganism on their friends, you know, they have a lot of cliches that they use as well. Like, well, you wouldn't eat your dog, would you? Or, you know, whatever. I mean, you could fill in there's a list and it's endless. But the truth is, if you turn that on yourself and say, what's the best thing that I can do for myself? If you start by being the most narcissistic, selfish person on the planet, you will see how much sense this makes for you as an individual. But then it's going to affect everybody in a positive way. So it actually supports you being narcissistic, and it supports you being benevolent at the same time. It's the biggest win-win situation. And again, once again, I'm a newbie at this. I haven't been around it that long. Going on 10 years in what? I guess next year, 2017. It'll be 10 years for me.
I think it was the end of 2006.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I think you're going to have your 10-year anniversary this year.
Right. Well, there it is. Let's say it's the end of this year, just because I want to get cards and letters and presents. So, yeah.
Yes, and I want to drink a toast to that event with some lovely, what would it be? Maybe a Maker's Mark Manhattan.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or your favorite wine.
My favorite wine. Well, then let's jump right into that. So for Valentine's Day or Vegantine's Day.
Okay, so you want to talk about the menu?
Yeah, let's talk about food. This is a food show.
Great. So the menu we've put together, once again, I'll start by saying I show up here on Karen's show around the holidays. And so we put together the Feast of the Seven Dishes, which can also, you know, that can be used on any holiday. So if you really want to jump into the kitchen and just like work and make a bunch of food for Valentine's Day, that's a great way to look at some main, you know, seven course meals that you could pull some dishes from or whatever. So there's always that in your vegan food preparation toolbox. But what I thought we'd come up with was something really easy and yet still kind of decadent in a way. So we came up with this very simple menu, and what we start with is a nice wine. Now, Karen and I happen to really love Quercibella Vegan Biodynamic Winery in Tuscany. They produce some great wine and phenomenal wine.
Can I just jump in here a minute about Quercibella? Yes. I interviewed the founder on this program, Sebastiano Cozzi Costigliano, several years back, and you can check that out at responsibleeatingandliving.com's website and learn more about Quercibella. But not only are they vegan and biodynamic is not necessarily vegan because people that follow the biodynamic process will use animal bones and other animal-related products in the soil to nurture the plants. Well, vegan biodynamic or veganic does not, and that's the process they use at Quercibella. We happen to have been at an amazing Vegan Delights Quercibella-sponsored event last week with hors d'oeuvres and all these small bite tasting menu with tons of Quercibella wine, and I drank a lot, way more than I ever do. And we woke up in the morning with no headache. And
no hangover.
I'm absolutely convinced that's because this wine was clean.
Right, I agree. And what was your favorite wine that you were drinking? Tell us all about that. Because I've never seen you, and this is the truth, I've never seen you enjoy a glass of wine more than this. Because you're not you're not a big drinker.
I'm not a big drinker.
You're not a little drinker. You're not even a drinker. I mean, you're a big green juice drinker. You're a green juice addict. I would say that if there was a place to go for an addiction to green juice, you know, you would have to go there. But it's a good thing. So,
yeah. When I was younger, I drank a lot more. And when I lived in France, I certainly drank a lot more wine until I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. And all the French people were looking at me with raised eyebrows. But
as if they weren't looking at you with raised eyebrows enough for being a vegan in France.
It was all of a sudden, you know, what, you're not having wine with dinner tonight? No, I don't want to. The best thing to do in a situation like that is have them fill your glass and just leave it so that nobody questions you.
Unless you're sitting next to me, and then it'll be gone. Just kidding.
Yes. Okay. Quercibella has a number of different wines, and I talked about this in my What Vegans Eat blog post, day 352. I hope you visit it because you can see all the amazing things we had at this tasting event. But the Batar, there was nothing bitter or sharp about it. You barely even knew it was wine. It wasn't sweet, but it was fragrant and fruity. And the name is Batar, and I like saying it was like butter because how smooth, and it was creamy. And it's made with, what was it, Chardonnay and...
Here, I'll read you what it's made with here on the... if you received our newsletter, You'll have a link.
Oh, here it is. Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc grapes.
Right.
Yeah, really lovely. And then my second favorite was the Corchabella Camartina, which was a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Sangiovese varieties.
Right. And I'm a big fan of
So that's the wine.
I'm a big fan of their Chianti. So, I mean, right there, you've got three phenomenal wines to choose from. And they're all, as Karen mentioned, organic. More than that, they're biodynamic. And more than that, they're vegan biodynamic. So, in other words, there's no poison in this wine. It's all – and so start with a bottle of your favorite wine. So if it was – if we were opening a bottle of Batard, we'd want to let it breathe. And so open that first. And then get some organic garlic. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that maybe are thinking Valentine's Day, garlic. But here's what you do to the garlic to, you know, to rid it from any of the unpleasant aromas that you might experience with garlic. You roast it. And it's so easy to do this. You put your oven on 400. And you could even do this in a toaster oven. You don't even need to have a big oven. Put it on 400. And you could find a link on our site to how to roast garlic. But basically, you cut a little bit off the top so that you're exposing. You leave it in its skin. And put a little teaspoon of olive oil on it, and you could do three or four full cloves. Don't break them up, and put them in a baking dish. Cover the baking dish. We use parchment paper, and if we need to make a tight seal, we will put the parchment paper and then put a sheet pan over that. The last thing you want to try and do is use foil, but if you only have foil, then cover it with foil. And bake that for about 45 minutes. And it comes out, as you say, like butter.
And, can I just jump in here again and say that garlic, even though, you know, people know what kind of breath it can give you, that may not be really appealing. The roasted garlic, it doesn't really affect your breath in the same way. But garlic is high in something called allicin. And this is a compound that increases blood flow.
Mm-hmm. And now we're getting to the good part.
Yeah, I don't want to jump in and talk about sexual stamina right now, but we'll get to that. But garlic is a known aphrodisiac, and it can help with energy and stamina in all areas of the body.
Exactly. So that's why we've made garlic the focus of this meal. Now, the other thing that has to go with this is a nice loaf of freshly baked bread. Now, many of you out there like to bake your own bread. I mean, I know you do. I've talked to a lot of people, and they like to bake bread. So we've got some great bread recipes, and I'm sure you have one of your very own favorites. So what's fun to do with two people or three people or four people is bake a nice batch of fresh bread. So make sure you've got some of that ready. Because when that garlic comes out, you squeeze it. And this is also it's a sensual sort of experience to squeeze these little garlic cloves onto your bread and sip, you know, spread it on your bread, sip it with a glass of wine. And, you know, if you want to throw a salad in, we have this great variety. You have your own favorite salad recipes, whatever. We have a great salad for two. You could also be a salad for three on our website. And it's very simple to make. And you can look that up. So anyway, here we go. We have a big loaf of bread. We have a nice bottle of wine. And we have some roasted garlic. And if it's a decadent evening and you want to drizzle a little olive oil on that, you know, it's Valentine's Day. And I don't think it will – I think you will be it'll be a nice compliment. Okay.
Then
that's about it. You can then get ready for dessert. And we suggest our chocolate fondue and put your favorite dipping things on the side. You can dip yourself in the chocolate fondue, or you can dip fruit. And we make graham crackers. You can get some dandy marshmallows.
Okay. Can I just say one thing about this chocolate fondue?
And again, it's very easy to make.
It's like three ingredients, four ingredients. Cocoa powder. We do add sugar to this. We use evaporated cane juice and coconut oil and water. That's it. It is the easiest thing to make. And if you have these things on hand all the time like we do, well, then anytime we need a treat, it's easy to make a chocolate sauce and dip anything in it.
Yes, and it's a lot of fun to make this very simple menu that we have come up with, nothing elaborate, with your partner or your partners or your whole family. And if you do it naked, it's even more fun. So there you have it. Now, the most important thing to also think about while you're doing this is if you don't want to go through the effort, then there are things that are available to you that you can buy at the store and bring them home and unwrap. And there's a lot of things in the news about new vegan products, big news making headlines, which is another thing we talk about in our newsletter that we just sent out. And so one of the things that we have to talk about is, and I know Karen can back me up on this, that's making the headlines, is how many new vegan companies are popping up everywhere, backed by major investors like Bill Gates. I mean, do we, is everybody with us on that, Karen?
I'm with you. We've talked about Hampton Creek Foods many times and Beyond Meat. And yes. Bill Gates is behind both of those. Hampton Creek Foods is getting more and more press these days, and it's hysterical. So I may have mentioned this before, but no, I think it just came out. Unilever is now creating – yeah, I mentioned it last week. Unilever is the maker of – the owner of many, many food companies, and Hellmann's mayonnaise and Best Food mayonnaise are belong to the Unilever group. And now they're coming – after they had this big tantrum last year about Hampton Creek Foods making vegan mayonnaise, they came out with their own vegan mayonnaise. And now we're hearing everywhere about Ben & Jerry's having a line of vegan ice cream. Please note that Ben & Jerry's is owned by Unilever. They're not, you know, a small little mom and pop Ben & Jerry anymore. They're part of the big Unilever conglomerate.
Yeah, so in other words, entrepreneurs are starting to take this whole vegan lifestyle thing seriously as an investment. And that usually means that, you know, as far as our work is concerned, responsible eating and living, we're going to get busier because, like Karen just pointed out, a lot of these companies that appear to be these small little mom and pops who care are in reality these huge companies that are trying to make a buck and exploit this new fad called, you know, this vegan lifestyle, which is not a fad, but a lot of them are trying to capitalize on it, which I guess, you know, in a capitalist society, that's a good thing. And so I'm not sure about that, but it's people like us here at Responsible Eating and Living who want to educate you on, you know, the truth and warn you or let you know when something is legit as opposed to when something is hiding behind this new vegan shield now that allows for people to, you know, because you're putting your trust into these products. You know that these trusts, like Quercetabella wine, you can trust it. You know that what they're doing is making wine that's pure, that's free from pesticides and herbicides, that uses rotation crops to attract pests, which aren't pests at all to them. It's part of the growing process.
We call them beneficial insects.
Right.
The PC word.
Right, beneficial insects. And so, but some of these companies are now finding out that a lot of people, if they see vegan on the label, are going to just go out and buy it. So,
you know, I'm glad you brought up label, because just because something says it's vegan doesn't mean you want to buy it.
Right.
It could be filled with junk. So please always remember to read the label. If there's something on that label you don't understand, you probably don't want to put that in your shopping cart.
Right. And many of our colleagues feel the way we do, about this very subject. And they, like us, want you to get back into the kitchen and start cooking your own food. And so I mean, on Valentine's Day evening, you want to get busy doing other things, right? I mean, let's face it. You don't want to spend 20 hours in the kitchen and then have no energy left for anything else. Like, you know.
Yeah, but if you're vegan binging, and you're drinking green juice, you're an ever-ready battery. You have energy right, all day and all night.
But, you know, all the more reason not to spend it in the kitchen unless, of course, you're naked. And then the other thing that you can talk about is this menu is easy to do. So anyway, the roasted garlic, opening a bottle of wine, if you need to throw in a salad, having a loaf of bread, and then some chocolate fondue. I mean, you know, you write the rest of this story and let us know what happens.
I want to just talk about we didn't include this in our newsletter, but little things that you can do for Valentine's Day is just to make it fun and festive is on a salad, for example, I like to add pomegranate seeds and or strawberries and or red beets. These three foods are just so blood red and beautiful. And
they're gorgeous. Yeah.
Perfect for Valentine's Day. And they're all so good for you.
Right. And so some of you are probably going to go out to restaurants, which is great. And another thing that we've put in the news, this newsletter, is that along the same lines as how the vegan movement is now it's affecting everything from fast food restaurants like Wendy's and Taco Bell, who are adding vegan-friendly products to their menus. And whoever thought that that would be – well, I mean, I think Taco Bell probably already has been doing that a while maybe. But Karen would have to confirm that.
Yeah, well, I think they are focusing a little bit more on healthier options.
Right.
But, yeah, I read that they're doing more to make more vegan-friendly options. But Wendy's, you should Google the Wendy's black bean burger commercial. It's really funny.
Right.
And the black bean burger.
And that's what they've added, right? They've added the black bean burger?
Yeah. So you can get it with cheese or you can get it without cheese. But if you get it without cheese, it's all vegan. The bun, everything, the sauce.
Yeah.
They did their homework.
So the other thing is a lot of you will be going out to very nice restaurants. And if you're vegan, you're going to find that more restaurants have vegan options on the menu. And here in New York, we're excited about all of the new vegan restaurants popping up, especially Karen could talk to you more about Chef Matthew Kenny, who I think you've interviewed before.
I haven't interviewed him. We've had dialogue back and forth for a long time, but he's like one of the biggest, busiest guys I know, and we have never made it happen, but maybe soon. So he has a brand new pizza restaurant opening on Thursday, just in 2 days in Manhattan.
And features wood-fired pizzas, right? I can't wait to try this.
Wood-fired
pizzas, which are my favorite way to cook pizza in a big wood-fired oven. It gets up to about 1,000 degrees in that oven, and when the pie goes in, it just cooks in like 2 to 3 seconds, it feels like, and then it comes right out, and it's great. And I can't imagine the experience of eating a wood-fired vegan pizza with a nut-based cheese, and I think this is what he's doing, right? He's also has some vegan ice creams and some organic wines. And
beautiful.
So do we know the name of this place?
It's called 00+Co. Not sure what that means, but it's 00+Co.
Right. And so it's really very exciting. Anyway, you probably have a bunch of restaurants in your neighborhood and you don't even know it because the show goes out around the world. Or if you don't, you probably find a restaurant that has vegan options. And if you don't, my experience has always been that if you ask your waiter or you call ahead, we love the ambiance in your restaurant. We want to come there for dinner. We're vegans. Can you guys fix us up? I know you have a – they're usually pretty – pretty accommodating. Most restaurants, they want your business, and they now are a little more comfortable with vegans. Where were we the other night where we had, oh, well, we were at Candle Cafe, and that's vegan. I was going to say they were really accommodating, but yeah, that's our favorite place to go anyway. So if you don't have a Candle Cafe, I know in California when I visit my family who was all out in California and in the Bay Area, everybody's probably got the Bay Area on their mind because the Super Bowl was just played about a few miles away from where I grew up. But I grew up in San Jose, and in downtown San Jose, there are some of the greatest vegan restaurants I have ever been to, and I live in New York City, where there are the greatest vegan restaurants. But some of the restaurants are in downtown San Jose and on Santa Clara Street. One is called Vegetarian House, and the other one is called Tofu Kamche. So you should definitely check those out.
I want to thank you. I'm not exactly sure all what you were talking about, but somehow I got dropped.
Oh, okay.
You've been riffing really nicely, and I'm back now.
It sounds like you're, yeah. So anyway, I was just talking about Tofu Kamche and Vegetarian House in San Jose, and how many communities have so many great little vegan restaurants that I've lived in San Jose my whole life. I never even knew about these places. And then when I became a vegan, you walk in, it's like, wow, there's all of these other vegans here. There's like 100 vegans sitting down having dinner, or people that want to eat more plant-based meals. It's really terrific. So San Jose, check out Vegetarian House and check out Tofu Kamche, which is a very small little 3 or 4 table takeout restaurant. You can eat it there, but they specialize in vegan pho, which is, if you're not familiar what pho is, it's soup. Basically, it's a noodle soup, and they put like lots of little bits of really wonderful veggies and noodles and bits of they have meat analogs and things of that nature. So it's all good stuff.
On the subject of Valentine's Day and cooking and really lovely things you can do, I think there's nothing lovelier than making dinner for someone you care about or for your family that you care about and or your friends or a friend that you care about, et cetera. It's just lovely to come to a place, to either come home or somewhere where you're invited, and someone has prepared a lovely meal for you.
Yes,
and I think it's happening less and less these days because people will opt to eat out, and that's fine. I know we're all busy, but there's nothing like a dinner at home, and it doesn't have to be extravagant, which is why we came up with these really simple suggestions of bread and chocolate fondue and wine. but, you know, especially in areas where it's cold, nice to come in to a warm house that's cozy. I was just smelling the air right now, and there are some wonderful smells going on. And I want to ask Gary, what is it that you've made that's smelling so good? Because this is another thing that's very exciting and enticing when you walk into a space and everything just smells so good.
Oh, the cooking smells. Well,
yeah.
Thanks. Again, the Responsible Eating and Living Test Kitchens are constantly working on recipes because – as I mentioned before, and I'm going to go on ad nauseum here about getting back into your kitchen, and our organization is about helping people do that, and we try to think of creative ways to help you do that, and to start you out on things that are, you know, that you don't have to be afraid of. And one of them is if you start to, and again, I know there's an argument about organic versus conventionally grown produce, and the big argument is I can't afford that stuff. I can't afford to buy organic. And I know that that has to be a factor, especially if you're on a budget, especially if you have a family. And I know there are a lot of farmers markets popping up everywhere that are offering organic vegetables at a reasonable price. And we all know that it's very difficult to, I mean, for me, for everyone, it's difficult to go into a market like Whole Foods and go through that vegetable section without and not drop your entire paycheck. Because, I mean, there's so many amazing things at Whole Foods. But the thing that I'm suggesting is, you know, try and shop in your little local markets, because they are now starting to have little sections of their produce departments where they are featuring locally grown organic vegetables. I'm not sure if they've come to your neighborhood yet, but I know that I'm seeing more organic vegetables here in Queens in our little markets. And believe me, this is mom and pop central still. And that's one of the things we love about Queens, is that they're most of the businesses here. And again, you know, we're getting a lot of corporations moving into the neighborhood, but most of the businesses here are local mom and pop shops that are trying to survive. And they're trying to give the public what they need. So buy some organic vegetables. And to answer your question in a roundabout way, Karen, what I'm baking in the oven right now simply are vegetables. I've got a big heavy-duty cast iron. It's actually a Le Creuset cookware with a heavy lid. And I've just put a bunch of carrots, a couple of potatoes, an onion, some of that garlic I was talking about. I left the skin on, and a little red wine, and we're baking it in the oven at 350, and that's it. You just put it in. And when it comes out, I call it, in a joking sort of way, I didn't have a backyard to dig a fire pit and bury my vegetables, so I put them in the oven instead. And that's basically, you know, I watch all of these programs because I want to get up to date on, and I think the first sign of old age isn't necessarily a decaying of the body. I think what Chris Rock puts it best, he said, the only way you can keep young is if you keep up on the references that are out there, the things that the young kids are talking about. Well, the same goes for cooking. The only way you can really stay on top of it is if you keep up with the references that are going around. And there's all of these programs now on these streaming streaming stations. Do you call them stations? What do you call Netflix? I mean, I know there's a name for it.
Netflix. Let's move on.
Okay. So Netflix has all of these programs where they're showing you these chefs that are doing these, you know, brand new dishes and things. And one of them, it's getting way out of hand. And one guy digs a fire pit in his backyard and he buries his vegetables and he has his friends over. And then they dig up the vegetables and it's supposed to be a lot of fun. And it just looks ridiculous. And everybody's like, ooh, and I just went, I can't even believe this is happening. But all cynicism aside, the vegetables come out amazing when you bake them in the oven covered like this. And they're sweet. They get sweet on their own. And they're terrific. So that's what you're smelling. That's what you're smelling in the air.
And organic carrots, organic potatoes, organic onions are probably the lowest price organic vegetables you can get, and are practically the same price as industrial grown varieties.
Right. So we've added some celery too. And Valentine's Day, we need to talk about some of these foods again that you had touched on earlier that enhance the blood flow. Right?
Okay,
and celery is definitely one of them. What else would you suggest people eat for Valentine's Day? We've got garlic already discussed.
You know, it's a combination of what you eat and what you don't eat, and the foods that cause a problem with blood flow, the foods that coat your arteries, the foods that clog your arteries and make it more difficult for the blood to move to the heart and other organs, are the animal foods, saturated fat, high in saturated fat animal foods, cholesterol, animal protein. Those are the things that make us unhealthy and affect our entire bodies.
Right.
Now, I wanted to mention the Super Bowl and some Super Bowl commercials. Now, we did not watch the Super Bowl, and I'm not a fan of football, but we do try, as Gary said, to stay on top of the trends, what people are talking about. And there was, I want to talk about the commercials, which you can probably see all of the commercials online. And there was a PETA commercial that was proposed, that was rejected, and they have many commercials that they make that are rejected by mainstream media for lots of different reasons. I'm not a fan of PETA. I do agree with promoting a vegan diet. I'm all over that one. But I don't appreciate their sensational approach, and I think some of it is offensive to women and lots of other things. So they have this new commercial, and I really don't recommend watching it because I was kind of, like, uncomfortable watching it. But it shows side-by-side two couples. The men are on the bed lying on their backs. The women are on top of them, and they are bouncing. They're bouncing around, and, they're doing it. They're doing it. And they're sighing and groaning. And I really didn't need to see that. I don't really care for gratuitous sex, but the guy on the left just couldn't last, and he leaves, and the woman is annoyed, and he walks out of the building, and meanwhile, the vegan couple is just going at it, going at it, going at it, going at it, and then at the end, the meat eater is walking out of the building, and a refrigerator falls on him. I don't know what the meaning of that was, and that's the end of the commercial. The point is obvious. The point is that when you're healthy, when you're eating a diet that's rich in plants, a high-fiber diet, you're reducing risk of heart disease, your arteries are clean, your blood can flow to all your organs, and as a result, you can have a lot of sexual stamina and energy and excellent performance.
Well,
and that's an important message for guys watching football.
Right. Eating chicken wings and rib tips. And then
another commercial, which I saw online after, was the Hyundai Super Bowl commercial, which follows a couple, a man and a woman, and they're running away from some bears. And they think the bears, of course, want to eat them or something. And because the car has this remote start feature, the guy was saying, you know, open the door or whatever he was saying, and the door automatically unlocked. They jumped in the car and drove away, and then the bears start talking, and they couldn't believe that they were able to get into the car without a key. And then one of the bears, you find out, is a what they call a part-time vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, just that just hits so many buttons. But number one, they're talking about vegans, either in a positive light or a negative light. We are on the radar.
Right. And you're going back to what you had talked about with respect to the PETA commercial about stamina, et cetera. You were on Geraldo in 2007. We've also included this in the tell us about that experience on Geraldo. And even back in 2007, things were starting to change, and they were doing this story about well, I'll let you explain because you were the subject of the story.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Well, number one, I've had a number of guests on this program from Australia, and here we are in New York, and I love the opportunity to speak to people around the world. We've talked to people in Europe and Asia and down under in Australia, and there seems to be a really big and growing vegan movement there in Australia. And in 2007, there was a blog post or an article or something came out about a vegan who said she wouldn't date a meat eater because meat eaters taste bad. They smell bad. They taste bad. And it was getting a little buzz. So the program Geraldo.
Hold on a second. You cut out just then. This woman said she wouldn't date a meat eater?
Right. Because she believed they tasted bad and they smelled bad.
Okay.
And then Fox News on Geraldo at Large wanted to interview a vegan. And I was working at Earth Save International at the time, and they called and said, could I recommend anyone? And I thought, I'm going to recommend myself because I know I can manage this one.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting was it was actually just a couple weeks after my last cancer surgery in 2007, I had been through major surgery. 2 weeks later, I was on this show, and we talked about this concept of whether or not vegans should date meat eaters because they taste bad or smell bad. And I did a little research at the time, and there are chemicals in foods that give us more body odor, and they tend to be more prevalent in animal foods than in vegetable foods.
Right.
So it is true that if you're not eating animal foods, you can be more sensitive to the human smell of the human odor of someone who does eat animal foods. So
right.
We talked about that on the show, and they cut a lot. Unfortunately, I wasn't editing this piece. But they did leave in one of my lines, and I'm glad they did, because the interviewer was asking me if I thought meat eating was extreme. No, if I thought being, I gave away the punchline here. She asked me if I thought the vegan diet was extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it for a moment and came back and thought that meat eating was extreme. And
right.
I really believe that.
No, I remember that. That was a genius line that you just added there in that. And if you see the video, again, if you're not on our newsletter list, on our mailing list, we'll send you a newsletter. You should get on it, and you could do that by going to responsibleeatingandliving.com. Those of you that do have our newsletter, you can watch the video of
Karen.
Yeah,
you can also, I want to add, if you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and go to the rightmost tab that says subscribe, you can subscribe or you don't have to, but you can see all of our newsletters, and you can click on the most recent one, and that will lead you to the Vegans Who Won't Date Meat Eaters video.
Right. Your hair is very short because, as you mentioned, you were going through cancer treatment and surgeries and chemotherapy, but you look phenomenal on this little
Thank
video.
Thank you. I thought so, too. It was really a fun event. But, you know, we're bringing it up because on Valentine's Day, we talk about dating, and people will bring up how difficult it is if you're vegan or vegetarian and you're dating a meat eater, vice versa. And this odor concept is really fascinating. I remember, who is the radio host who's very vulgar?
Howard Stern?
Howard Stern, yeah. I don't watch this program, and I'm sure he's probably done this more than once, but he had a raw vegan woman on his program once, and I want to say that he confirmed that she tasted better than meat-eating women. And I'm not going to go any further than that, but...
I get it. It took me a minute. It's one of those things you'll get after the show is over. You're going to tune us out and go, oh, that's what Karen meant.
Yeah.
So the other thing we have in the newsletter, this did we talk about the chocolate story video that we produced?
We haven't, not on this show, and that's important to bring up. Thank you.
Yeah. First of all, let me tell you that there's a lot of great vegan chocolate out there, and we do a report on in the chocolate story. Take it away, Karen.
Yeah. Now, we did a few reports last year, and we're going to continue to do some more reports this year. Unfortunately, all the information in our news reports is still true. And we did a report on chocolate, and what I like to do is tie all the issues together in one place. So you may have heard about the concern people have about cocoa beans being harvested in the Ivory Coast, unfortunately, by child slaves.
Right.
And there's an organization, the Food Empowerment Organization, started by Lauren Ornelas, and they have a list on it. I highly recommend going to it, of all the organizations that make chocolate that do not get it from this area where child slaves are being used.
Right.
So we really don't want to support slavery in our chocolate. And you can probably guess the companies that still get their beans from the Ivory Coast, or at least they won't be transparent about it. And Hershey's and all the big chocolate companies are like that. So that's one issue to be concerned about. Here it is on Valentine's Day. You want to be romantic and full of love. You want to share your love. You really want to share a box of chocolates where the cocoa has been harvested by children that have been exploited and treated really horribly. I don't.
Right.
So there's that list. Now, there are other concerns about chocolate that I find fascinating, and this is all in our chocolate report, which you can watch or you can read the transcript because it's all there, and I think it's really important information. But there are chocolates that have been tested by a number of different sources, and they've been found to have high levels of cadmium and lead in them. And I believe it's primarily due to the soil where the cocoa beans have been grown, which are likely next to areas that are polluted and have these toxins in the water because of factories that are dumping cadmium and lead, unfortunately. So
I know what lead is. What is cadmium?
Cadmium is just another chemical that we don't want to have in high concentrations in our food.
Right. Okay.
It's another element.
It's a great report produced here at Responsible Eating and Living.
Wait, there's more.
Good.
You know, we see more and more on chocolates if you're reading the fine print and the labels like we do. There are these lines that say, made on equipment that processes wheat and dairy and soy, and they list all the foods that are causing so many allergies today, and more people are being affected by dairy and wheat, fish, peanuts, nuts, to the point where the digestive system really reacts very badly. So these companies have to put these phrases on their product for people that are really sensitive. And what I learned when I interviewed the maker of Pascha chocolate, whose daughters were highly allergic, so he created a chocolate that they could eat, is that the equipment, it's really impossible to clean equipment that processes chocolate sufficiently to remove allergens. So there are vegan chocolate companies, for example, that will make vegan chocolate without any animal ingredients. But because they're a small company, they have to rent equipment from a larger company or other groups that are sharing the same equipment that may be processing it with milk, for example. And no matter how hard they try to clean it, you cannot get the residual dairy out of it. And there's been a lot of dairy found in chocolate that's considered non-dairy.
Right. That's very scary. And I remember when we were doing the report, you dug pretty deep to find all of this information. So it's a great report. Check it out. It's only 12 minutes long. It's at Responsible Eating and Living. We do a lot of in-depth reports of this nature. And as Karen mentioned, we're doing more. We're getting ready to do the next one on water. And that's going to be very, very educational for a lot of you. And that's what we're all about, education. We've got a few minutes left. Anything else, Karen, that we need to cover?
Well, yeah, of course. So we have the What Vegans Eat blog. And I can't believe how wonderful an experience it's been so far. But we are going to be 1 year old in just a couple of days. What Vegans Eat is going to turn 1 year old with 365 blog posts of what Gary and I have been eating from morning until night all year long. It's all real. It's all true. Many of the dishes are linked to recipes, and it's exciting because the last I checked, we had like over 4,000 people check out the posts in the last month.
Yeah, it's becoming incredibly popular, and we're very excited about it. And Karen, you've done a magnificent job with it. And it's, you know, it was originally we were talking about it ironically because the biggest question we always get when we tell people that we are vegan is, well, what do you guys eat? What do you eat? And what do you eat? So,
you know, speaking of what I eat,
what we eat.
Okay? It literally
is. It's genius. I love this thing because it is like if we only have an apple, then that's in the blog. And we're still alive. Look, it's been a year and we're not dead yet. So it's basically
right.
That's
some days, that's a good point. Some days we eat very rich food, and some days we eat very, very simply, but it's all there. I haven't posted yesterday's post, but I wanted to just briefly talk about it because I was wiped out, exhausted. We've been doing a lot of grant writing and formulating what's on the agenda for the year for Responsible Eating and Living. I was super, super tired. And then Gary was coming back. You were out.
I was at acting class because I am an actor in real life. I just play the creative director of Responsible Eating and Living on TV.
On real TV.
On real TV.
And
so I was in acting class and I came home.
And I wanted to make dinner. I wanted to do something nice. I knew you had been out and about. It was a cold day, and yet I was tired. So I was confused, and I wasn't feeling creative. So normally when I do that, what I do is I just start chopping onions, carrots, and celery. I just know that's going to be my foundation. And once I start doing that, the creative juices will start flowing, and I'll figure out what else I'm going to add to it. So if you're confused about what to make for dinner, just start chopping onions, carrots, and celery, and start sautéing them. That's just the beginning.
Those are your aromatics. And then you could add water to that and make a soup. That's your base for a soup. You don't need any bones or dead flesh or anything. Okay, I see that we've got like a minute left. We should wrap it up.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's wrap it up then.
Happy Valentine's Day, Karen. I love you.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Gary. I love you. And look forward to what we have on Valentine's Day on the What Vegans Eat blog, because I'm going to continue. Just because we're turning 1 year doesn't mean we're going to stop at any of this.
Right. And check it out in your neighborhood. I mean, my advice to you is check it out, because you're going to find that if you have to go out to dinner, or if you want to go out to dinner and you're a vegan and you don't have a vegan restaurant in your neighborhood, just be pushy and ask them to make you something vegan. They have vegetables in the kitchen. They can do it. And they want
they
your business. That's right.
Gary, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. Thanks for helping me tune in. Love today. And everybody, have
thanks,
a delicious
PRN.
Week.
Thank you, PRN. Happy Valentine's Day to PRN.
That's right. Bye-bye.